السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are on the fourth lesson from the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The switch that we need to make to understand that compassion is the best basis for a society. The switch from the single-minded pursuit of profit to compassion. Ironically and very tragically, as I was preparing for this khutbah this morning, we got news of the tragic shooting in New Zealand in two masajid, as a result of which 49 people have been killed, Shaheed fi sabilillah, and more than 40 injured. The terrorist who did it is a white supremacist, and he has published his reasons for doing his criminal action in a 74-page note. What is there to say where insanity has been elevated to the level of a philosophy? Our du'as are for the families of the people who were killed and who are injured. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the people who are killed Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure those who are injured and to take away their pain. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give sabr and patience and fortitude to the families of those who have lost their members. What a world we live in, where not only did the man do this killing, but he live streamed it with LED lights on the end of his gun. It's a classic example of complete and total brutality and cold-blooded murder. We can only hope that he is dealt with to the level of justice that is demanded by such an action, and that the full force of the law is applied against him. And whether that happens or not, of course, alhamdulillah, we know that there is a day of judgment when he and his kind will face the results of their deeds. As Muslims, we stand against every form of violence and every form and every crime. We stand against all forms of oppression, no matter who does them, whether they are Muslim or not Muslim. We do not support Muslims if they do anything wrong, and we do not support anyone else if they do anything wrong either. Islam placed charity as a high virtue and institutionalized it, creating a society where rulers didn't treat the state as their personal property, but instead recognized their role as representatives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and lived with that responsibility as a burden to be discharged, and for which they held themselves accountable. Enjoying the wealth of the nation as if it belonged to them personally, or spending it ostentatiously, as was and is the manner of kings, was not in the character of the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his Khulafa, the Khulafa al-Rashideen. They were more conscious of answering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine living in such a society, because that is what Medina was like, and how even large parts of the Muslim world were like until we gradually gave up these principles and went back to the practices of Jahiliya, the pre-Islamic period of ignorance, and brought those into our lives. Let me share with you one of the well-known stories about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and his wife Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, the daughter of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. On one of his patrols, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came to a tented camp on the outskirts of Medina and heard the moans of a woman coming from the tent. There was a man sitting outside the tent. Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu greeted the man and asked him who he was. The man said he was from the desert and had come to Medina hoping to get some charity from the Amirul Mumineen. Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu then asked the man about the moaning sounds from within the tents. The man said, "Go away. May Allah have mercy on you. Don't ask about things which do not concern you." Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu persisted. He said to the man, "Look, I want to help you. And so if you tell me what's happening and if I can help you, I will help you." Eventually the man said, "Inside the tent is my wife who is about to give birth, but there's no one there to help her." Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu left the man. He rushed to his house and he said to his wife, Umm Kulthum radhiyallahu anha, "Will you take a reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought for you?" She said, "What is that goodness and reward, Ya Umar?" He explained the situation to her. She immediately took all that was needed to help the woman to deliver her baby and all that the newborn would need as well. Meanwhile, Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu took a pot and with it he took some fat and some grain meal. He and his wife hurried off together until they reached the camp. When Sayyidina Umar Kulthum radhiyallahu anha went inside to help the pregnant woman, Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu remained outside with the husband and cooked the food that he had brought with him. After some time, from inside the tent, Kulthum radhiyallahu anha called out and said, "Ya Umar," she said, "Ya Amirul Mumineen," not Ya Umar, she said, "Ya Amirul Mumineen, give good news to your companion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a son." The man was shocked to discover that it was the Khalifa himself who was seated with him and who was cooking food for him, and that it was the wife of the ruler who had delivered his child. There are many such stories about the Khulafa'i Rashida. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to live our lives according to the beautiful example that they created. There's another story about Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu. And on one of his nightly patrols, he found a tent from which he heard the sound of children crying. So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu went there and he found a woman there inside the tent and she had some children. She had a few children and she was, there was something on the fire, a pot which where it was, something was being cooked. So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu said to the lady, "Why don't you feed the children? I mean, why are they crying?" She said, "We have no food." She said, he asked her, he said, "What's in the pot?" She said, "There's just water. I left the pot there. I'm just boiling the water, hoping that the children will just fall asleep while they are waiting for the food to be cooked and there is no food." Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu then turned around and he had a servant with him. He rushed to the Baitul Mal and he picked up a bag of barley flour from there, and he came back to this lady's camp. And as he came from the Baitul Mal, he carried this bag of flour on his back. The servant said to him, "Ya Amirul Mumineen, I am here to serve you, to help you. Let me carry the bag." He said to him, "Will you carry my burden on the Day of Judgment?" These are the kinds of people who, this is the sort of example that they set for us. Now, Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu took this bag, brought to this lady, and he cooked the food. He lighted a fire, he started cooking the food. His servant said that as Sayyidina Umar was blowing on the food to, blowing on the fire to light the fire, he said that I could see the smoke coming out from his beard. His face was so close to the fire. He said the smoke was blowing back in his face and he could see the smoke coming out from his beard. He cooked the food. He gave it to the lady. The lady fed the children. Sayyidina Umar moved away and he and the servants sat quietly at a distance from the tent. After a while, the servant said, "Amirul Mumineen, we have finished what we came to do. So why don't we go home?" Sayyidina Umar said, "I heard them crying. I want to hear them laughing. My brothers and sisters, there are many stories like this, especially about the Khulafa Rashida and the Sahaba and about those who followed them in excellence thereafter. As I said, imagine a society ruled by someone whose taqwa is even at a fraction of this level. This is what Islam makes possible, and the choice is ours. Please understand that when I am saying ruler, it does not necessarily mean the king of a country. Everyone is a ruler over whoever Allah has put under his control. Nabi SAW said, Kullukum ra'in. He said, every one of you is a shepherd. And everyone will be questioned about his flock. So anyone who has any authority over anyone else is a ruler, is a king, as far as that person is concerned. Islam took charity and altruism to a different level. Charity in Islam is not viewed as a favor done to the poor by the rich, but as something that the donor does for himself as an investment in his own akhirah. This saves the donor from arrogance, as there is no expectation of reward and no expectation of gratitude from the recipient. The only expectation of reward and hope for reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised this attitude, and he said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. And they give food in spite of their love for it or their need for it to the miskeen, to the poor, to the orphan, and to the captive, to the prisoner, saying, we feed you seeking Allah's countenance only, seeking Allah's reward and pleasure only. We wish for no reward nor thanks from you. Saying doesn't mean that they say this to the people, but this is in their hearts. The role of the recipient is that of someone who has done the donor a favor by accepting his donation. The donor gives what he wishes to give and feels grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing the opportunity, and he thanks the recipient for helping him to invest in his own akhirah. The recipient thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favor and thanks the donor for his kindness, thereby building good relations between the two. He thanks the donor because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who has not thanked the person or not thanked the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another famous story about Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for charity, saying that he was destitute. Rasulullah sent him to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and he said, go to Uthman and tell him that I sent you and ask him to help you. The man went. By the time the man reached Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan's house radiallahu anhu, it was getting dark. And as he stood outside the door, he heard Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu saying to his wife, lower the wick of the lamp. It is burning too much oil. The man thought to himself, what can such a person give me? He is worried even about how much oil his lamp is burning. What is the point even in talking to him? So he turned around and started to walk away. But as he walked a few steps, he thought that since Rasulullah ﷺ had sent him, maybe it would still be a good idea just to complete the task and ask Sayyidina Uthman for help. The man turned around, he returned and he knocked on the door. And when Uthman ﷺ opened the door, the man said, I'm a poor man. I went to Rasulullah ﷺ for some charity, and he sent me to you. Can you please help me? Sayyidina Uthman asked him to wait, went inside his house and returned with the keys to his warehouse. He took him to the warehouse, opened the lock and said to the man, go in and take whatever you like. And when you have finished, please drop the keys back at my house. Saying this, he turned around and started walking away. The man was totally astonished. He was flabbergasted at this. And he called out to Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. He said, please, I have a question. Please answer a question for me. Sayyidina Uthman turned around and he said, what's the question? The man said, just some time ago, I overheard you asking your wife to lower the wick of the lamp because it was burning too much oil. I almost left thinking to myself, what good is asking help from a person who is so miserly? But when I asked you for help, your generosity is beyond my imagination. You opened the door of the warehouse and you tell me, take whatever you like. I can empty the whole warehouse. Now please explain this difference in your behavior. Sayyidina Uthman replied, he said, that is simple. The oil is for this dunya and Allah will question me about it. Charity is for the akhirah and Allah will reward me for it. And that's why I do this. It is this perspective that defines charity in Islam. My brothers and sisters, think about the kind of spending that we do, saying that this is my money and I'm spending it for myself. Islam does not give us the right to spend beyond the limits that have been set by the Sharia and to be ostentatious and to make israf. It is not your money. It is not my money. It is the money which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah has given us in trust. Let us remember that. The mindset change that we are talking about is from looking at charity as something you do with surplus and consider a sacrifice that we are making for altruistic reasons to considering it as an essential investment in our own future, an investment with none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for our akhirah. I use the term investment instead of the more usual sacrifice for a good reason. The only sacrifice is what the tandoori chicken does for you. I say that because for anything to be a sacrifice, there are two preconditions. Number one, what you are giving away must belong to you. I can't sacrifice your wealth. I can't say to my friend Zafar Ansari, I'm going to sacrifice your wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must be something that belongs to you. And the second condition is that you must get no return for it. In the case of spending in the path of Allah, the first thing we all know is that all that we have, including ourselves, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. It's not mine, it's not yours, so I can't say that I'm sacrificing it because it doesn't even belong to me. I have been given custody of it to hold in trust and to spend as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed me to spend it. Secondly, Allah not only promised a return, He promised a return in multiples of what we spend in His path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Allah said, the one who comes to me with one good deed, I will give him 10 likewise. 10 times what he brings. That is 1000%. This is the absolute basic minimum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to give us for whatever we spend in His path. Allah is incapable of being stingy, of being miserly. So where is the question of sacrifice? It's an investment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it an investment for which He promised a return. My brothers and sisters, think about this. The problem with thinking about things as a sacrifice is, to reflect upon this is that all sacrifice which is giving without a return will end one day. There is no way that you can continue to give something without a return forever. There is a time until which you can give, and after that you will have to stop because it will simply become too much. On the other hand, and this is because either you have reached the end of what you can afford to give or have given everything away and there is nothing more. But investment continues forever because you are getting a return. The more you spend, the more you earn. And that's the reason why investment is something that can go on forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, think about this. What is our compassion deficit? Who are the people in your and my family and society who need our support? What do we need to do to support them? I think these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, and to ensure that we answer these questions, because one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us the same questions. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to relieve anyone who has any suffering from his suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure anyone who is sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to free those who are in the shackles of interest and interest-based earnings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free them from those shackles. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us in every way and every place where we need His help. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us by through means that we cannot even imagine. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.